For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to the Voice of Victory broadcast. What comes to mind when you hear the word worship? Is it a weekly task that is done and then set aside until the following week? Or is worship something we should practice through our daily lives? Today, Pastor Holland begins a message entitled, Real Reasons for Real Worship. Turn with us to the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 1, as we begin.
Turn to the book of Revelation, chapter number 1. We find it here in chapters 1 and 2. We find it also is a book of worship. And so today I want to speak to you on the subject of real reasons for real worship. All through the book, and amid scenes of heavenly glory and earthly judgment, God is glorified and praised in worship. The people of God, we find, blend their voices with the angels of heaven. And all the citizens of God's great eternal kingdom lift up their voices and anthems and praise and worship to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we don't talk too much about worship in the church. Yet I wonder today if we really understand and know what true worship really is. In fact, if we was to ask today, you'd probably get several answers. But the only place I know to go is to many times to go to good old Webster's Dictionary and just find out what Mr. Webster had to say about worship. He said, worship is to honor with extravagant love and extreme submission. Worship is to honor with extravagant love and extreme submission. To worship is defined by priority that we place God in our lives. The Bible teaches us that God ought to have preeminence in our life. Don't let that word fool you. It only means that he's to have first place in all that we do. We're to put him ahead of everything else. We find in their lives that if we're going to live an extravagant love, it ought to be by putting God in his proper place. God is not an afterthought, and God is not something that we run to or should run to just when we need him. God ought to be somebody that is demonstrated in our extravagant love to him by our obedience in following him and being obedient to him. We think about extreme submission. It is the absolute, allowing the absolute control of God to have control of our lives and all we do. A lot of misnomers are today, worship is not gathering. It's not gathering at the church a couple times a week to sing and preach. Those are important things, but literally that's not worship. Worship is not volunteering to work in the church. Worship literally is what we do. In simple terms, worship is not what we do. Worship is what we are. Oftentimes, we love God with all our being. We walk in absolute submission to his word and his will, we can say that we're worshiping God. For you see, being outside of God's will and doing things contrary to God's word and not putting God in the proper place that he deserves, how could we say that we were worshiping him? So worship is demonstrated not by how loud we shout or how well we sing or how great we preach, or anything else that we may do in his house. True worship is seen in our love for him and in our daily submission to him in our lives. I believe today worship will be demonstrated every day in everything we do. In our life, it will reflect Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about a false worship. I'm not talking about putting on a front. Having considered what worship is, let us see why we should give our God our worship. Why should I love God above all things? Why should I love him extravagantly? Why should I yield the totality of my life to him? Why should I bow to him as being Lord of all? Why is God worthy of my worship? I think today we'll find the answer in our text in the book of Revelation, and we'll begin reading in verse number 4. The Bible said, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be to you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. In verses 4 through 6, we find a doxology of John writing about God and who he is. He gives us a very plain explanation of real reasons why we ought to worship him. And truly today, the reasons that every believer should give is that we worship him because he is God. A friend, today we may not understand everything about God, but we do know one thing. God is God, and the Bible said he's truth, and literally we speak the truth when we speak of God. The first thing I want you to notice with me this morning is the grace that Jesus exhibits to each and every one of us. Notice with me in the latter part of verse 5, the Bible says in the latter part of verse 5, where John says, unto him that loved us. Now, this word is given throughout the New Testament, and it speaks of God's love for his people. I'm glad today, as if no one else does, I'm glad today God loves me in a special way. And could I submit to you this morning, not only does he love me, but he loves you. And he loves every one of us today as we serve him and are obedient to him. First of all, I believe this kind of love speaks of an eternal love. There's been people that seemingly have loved and comes to a point. Had a man tell me one time about his wife, said, I just don't love her anymore. Friend, I want you to know, if you ever really did love her the way you should have loved her enough to marry her, then truly you're mistaken about your love. But friend, today God gives to us an eternal love. The Bible said in Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. I'm grateful today that the Lord hath loved us with an everlasting love. It's eternal. And no matter what I do, no matter what happens to me or where I go, God will never cease to love me because he gives to me an eternal love. Second of all, it's a love that is unconditional. I tell you, we think about conditions. Many times somebody said, well, have you met the conditions? I want you to know, when it comes to God's love, it's unconditional. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 8:38 and 39, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm glad today that nothing can separate me from the love of Christ, no matter what I do. And I'm not submitting today that we do anything that would be contrary to what God would have us to do. But I'm glad today God's love tomorrow is not based on what I do tomorrow, because I'm afraid I may fail him tomorrow. But his love is unconditional, and nothing is able to separate his love from me. It speaks of a love that is given to the undeserving. The Bible said in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I want you to know the love of God today, and the reason he deserves our worship is because he loved us when we were unlovable. He loved us when we were nothing but rotten, dirty sinners, and he literally was willing to give his son Jesus to die for us. I don't deserve the love of God today. And furthermore, not a person in this building deserves the love of God today. But I'm grateful today God has given us his love. His love is eternal. His love is unconditional. His love is undeserving, but he still loves us with that wonderful love. It speaks of a love which resides in the heart of God and is freely given to people by grace alone. Our text used the past tense for the verb when John says, unto him that loved us. Now, does that mean that Jesus loved us at some point in the past and he no longer does? He said right there, unto him that loved us. No, not at all. If we take the whole biblical revelation concerning the love of God and His people, it becomes clear that God's love for His people knows no beginning and it knows no end. The love of God is for His people. It finds an ultimate expression in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Could I remind you this morning, He loved you in eternity past. He loves us when He formed us from the dust of the earth. He loved us when He walked in the garden of Adam and Eve. He loved us when even when Adam fell into sin. He loved us when He killed an innocent animal to provide a covering of the nakedness of Adam and Eve. He loved us when He came to this world as a little baby. He loved us when He went to the cross. He loved us when He rose victorious from the grave. He loved us when He ascended back into heaven. He loves us while He's seated at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and I. He loved us even before we were born. But listen to this. He loved us even when the times that we walked in sin, contrary to the will of God and the way of God. I don't have time to go into it this morning, but you've heard my testimony. I haven't always served God, hadn't always walked according to the way that I should have walked. But I'm going to tell you, even through it all, He never ceased to love me. He never ceased to draw me and to speak to my heart. He loved us when He called us to come to Him. He loved us when He gave to us salvation, and He will love us forever. His love for us is nothing else but just the grace of God. We didn't deserve His love. In fact, we deserve the wrath of God. If we all got what we deserved this morning, we'd die and go to a devil's hell. But I want you to know today, God loved us and demonstrated His grace to us. We find today we were on His mind before the world was formed. You know, we stop and think about that, but understand God is God. His love was grace. The Bible said in Ephesians 1:4, according as He hath chosen us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. We were on His mind when He prayed in Gethsemane the night before He died. He said in John 17:20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on Me through their word. We were on His mind when He died on the cross. John 19:30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, He said, "It is finished." And He bowed His head and gave up the ghost. We were on His mind when He ascended back into heaven as our intercessor in Romans 8:34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. And could I tell you something remarkable? We're on His mind right now, even as I speak. The Bible said in Hebrews 7:25, wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost, to come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for Him, for them. The fact that God loves us is reason enough to worship.
How is worship exemplified in your life? We hope that you will carry this thought with you as you go throughout your daily routine this week. Join us again next week as we continue this message, Real Reasons for Real Worship. Will you choose victory today?
This is Gary Holland, and today's message came to you from the pulpit of Victory Baptist Church, where I serve as pastor. If God has touched your life through the Voice of Victory broadcast, please let us know by contacting us at victorybaptistchurch.us, where all regular services are webcast live. Written correspondence can be addressed to Victory Baptist Church at 938 North Pine Tree Boulevard, Thomasville, Georgia, 31792. We would like to invite you to our services this morning at Victory Baptist Church, or you can join us on the internet. Thanks for listening, and join us again next week at this same time.